Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word.
Maybe it's somebody in your life that is investing in you, and when something has helped you, you want it to help others that have the same need as you. Earlier in this passage in the book of John, John the Baptist had told his followers, because at the time he was preaching the Messiah coming. When the Messiah finally came, John was like, my work is done. I have done what I was called to do. I was supposed to prepare the way of the Lord. He's here. So he told all his followers, which it's amazing that you can see, it's not about clout for John the Baptist. It wasn't about having a name or having this reputation or being popular, because the second he knew that the Messiah came and he baptized Jesus Christ and that dove came down and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And John the Baptist saw that. He said, he's here. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he told his followers, it's time to follow Jesus, not me anymore. So John's followers, by the way, not the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, a different John. John's followers begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus, when they came to him, he said, well, what do you want? What are you looking for? And they said, well, where are you staying? Where you are, Jesus, is where I want to be. And may that be our heart, church, as children of God, as followers of Jesus, that wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. I don't want to put myself in situations that are going to displease or dishonor God or draw me further away from God. And they said, Jesus, wherever you are is where we want to be. And then we get to verse 39 when Jesus says, well, come and see and I'll show you. And it says that they came and saw where he dwelt and abode or stayed with him for that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Jesus answers them their question of where are you staying? Where are you going to be? And he answers them by inviting them, by saying, come and see. I'll show you. Follow me. And they went and they stayed with him for that day. And isn't that what Jesus does with us? When we wonder what to do with our lives, when we wonder what will happen when we die, when we ask God, or maybe you don't know God, you just ask, you look up in the sky and just say, why is this happening in my life? When we talk to God, when we ask God, when we wonder what's going on, Jesus answers us with an invitation. And he says, I'll show you. God, what's going on in my life? And Jesus says, well, come and see, and I can show you what I can do with your life. Well, my past is just so haunting. I've been through too much, or I've seen too much, or I've done too much. And Jesus says, well, let me show you what I can do with your past. When it's death, what's going to happen when I die? Where am I going to go? And Jesus says, I can give you eternal life. I can give you a home in heaven. Or we say, why is this happening in my life? Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this problem? Why is this happening to me? And Jesus answers with an invitation. Says, I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Let me show you what I'm doing in your life. And John, the author of the Gospel of John, who was in this passage, one of those ones that was following Jesus, he's so moved by that first interaction with Jesus, the Son of God, that he penned the exact hour that he met him. He says, it's about the 10th hour. That's how meaningful this moment with Jesus was in the author John's life, the 10th hour being, in our time, around 4 p.m. And it says they stayed with him for the rest of the day. Verse 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So after this day with Jesus, they spent a day with Jesus. Doesn't really say what they talked about, but I just can only imagine. And they spend this day with Jesus. After this, Andrew immediately finds his brother Simon Peter and tells him about Jesus. We found him. We found the Messiah. This is the one that we've waited for. We found him, Peter. In verse 42, it says, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And let's just pause for a moment and think. Andrew goes and finds his brother. And it says, I love that phrase, those few words at the beginning of verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. The message today, and where we'll continue the rest of the service today, is the God who should be shared. The God who should be shared. Andrew meets Jesus. We don't know what they talked about that day, but he meets Jesus, and immediately after, he finds his brother and says, you have got to meet this guy. We found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. What a statement. What a statement. And the challenge of today's message is going to really revolve around that thought of when you meet Jesus, when Jesus changes your life. So often, and I know it's the enemy's plan, we keep it to ourselves. We're so thrilled about what he's done in our lives, and our lives are being changed, and we're experiencing the blessing of God. That doesn't mean life is perfect. We still go through trials, but now we have a shepherd that's leading us, and we're excited about our life in Jesus Christ. And what happens is sometimes accidentally, we keep it all to ourselves. He's the God who should be shared. And Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus changes him immediately. That name change, because you're Simon, the son of Jonah, but you're going to be called Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. He immediately, imagine that the first time you meet somebody, he's like, hey, I'm going to call you someone else now. And that's what happened with Peter. So you're going to be called Cephas. That name change was more about Peter's future. You see, Jesus knew that Peter was going to be an important pillar in the early church. Jesus knew that. Peter and everyone else who chose to follow Jesus, their lives were going to change forever, because church, listen, that is what happens when you meet Jesus. When you truly meet Jesus, your life changes forever. Doubt is replaced by faith. Fear is replaced by courage. Anxiety is replaced by peace. Selfishness is replaced by selflessness. Pride is replaced by humility. And only Jesus can make that lasting life change. It's him. Now you say, well, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. And I still feel like I have some anxiety. I still feel like I have some fear. Listen. We all know that we are all a work in progress. Do we know that? I like to say we're all just a hot mess is what we are oftentimes. We need Jesus for not just the day by day, but the moment by moment. He is moment by moment working in us, changing us. Moment by moment, we must decide and choose to rest in the Savior. He is making that change in us. To where maybe in the past, before you knew Christ, you lived in doubt. You lived in fear. You lived in anxiety. But now when you meet Jesus and he begins to change you and work you and create spiritual disciplines in you, you may have doubt once in a while, but it's sure not as much. And in those moments of doubt where the enemy tries to scream doubt to us, the Spirit of God in us says, no. You can trust me. See, there's a difference there. I remember when I met Jesus. I remember I grew up, I had the privilege of growing up in church. Not a lot of you didn't have that. I had the privilege. People complain about that. Oh, I was drugged to church. I had a drug problem. I was drugged Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday and Wednesday night. Listen, that was our lives. Anytime the doors were open at our little independent Baptist church in Westfield, we were there. My dad helped with the youth group. My mom taught Sunday school. You know, we cleaned the church every week on a Saturday night. I remember us going as a little family and just cleaning the church. I don't know, I was probably making more of a mess than helping clean, but I was just a little kid. And the church was our life. Everything was revolved around church, and I'm grateful for that. But I remember even growing up in church, church doesn't save you, by the way. Going to church 15 times a week doesn't save you. I was a little boy, and probably at 9, 10 years old, they had me running the cassette tape recording things in the back of the church while the pastor would preach. And my pastor was so long-winded, he would take both sides of the tape. Yeah. This old preacher, he started that church in Westfield, Massachusetts, Pioneer Valley Baptist Church, Jerry Cleveland. He's with the Lord now. And so I was in charge of, once I heard that tape click in the recording, I'd have to turn around real quick and press record again for him. But I remember, I don't remember what he preached on. We were probably in the third hour at that point. No, and but I remember the invitation came. Our church would have an invitation at the end of service where everybody would bow their heads and they'd call people if they wanted to pray at the altar. And we do that sometimes here too. But I think it was a Sunday night, but the gospel invitation was given if you're not saved. And I remember as a little 10-year-old boy, I had heard that I was a sinner and that hell was real and that I needed Jesus to go to heaven and all these things. I knew all that as a little boy. Heard it in Sunday school all the time. And I remember as a little boy realizing that I needed Jesus. I was that little boy that every night I would, with my eyes open, I'd be scared. What if something happens tonight? And what if I die and go to hell? And Lord, help me, save me real quick. And I would kind of say a quick prayer that didn't really mean anything. And I'd just say, Lord, save me, save me. You know, I would literally pray for, I would pray for Bill Clinton to get saved every night. For some reason, I remember that. I don't know why I'm saying it right now, but I would pray, help Bill Clinton to get saved and help me to get saved tonight. And that was my prayer every night. Well, this Sunday service, finally, the Spirit really pricked my heart, and I said, I need to get saved. I remember as a little boy, the recording was all done because the invitation was going on, and I got up, walked up that little aisle to the church, took that little tiny left turn up to where the pulpit was and the platform, just as kind of the same color carpet as we have here, and I knelt down as a little boy. Didn't tell anybody, didn't grab anybody to talk to me, and I asked Jesus to save me. And I remember that moment so vividly, I believe, because that was a life change. New life was given to me. And for the last however many years since that day, 25 years, Jesus has been continually tearing down my little kingdom of one. Since that day, in that little church house in Westfield, Massachusetts, back in 2001, whatever year it was, God has been changing me and tearing down my little kingdom of one, where that kingdom where I get to be the boss and where it's my way or the highway, where I get to always be right, where nobody can get in my way. He has been tearing that down year by year and month by month and week by week and day by day and moment by moment. Jesus has been working with me, and I am thankful for that. Listen, oftentimes I'm not thankful for that. It's not the case always, because I try to live thankful for painful grace, because the grace of God sometimes slaps you right in the face and says, hey, you're being a jerk. Hey, you're being selfish, Donald. Hey, you're not treating your wife the way you should. You're lashing out your kids and you shouldn't be doing that. The grace of God sometimes is painful because he reaches down and kind of chips off that stuff we shouldn't have, and he's making us more like him, and it hurts. But it's necessary. The grace of Jesus shows me and shows you who we really are. Shows me who I really am. Sometimes I'm a sinner that is saved by grace. I'm a saint in the eyes of God. But sometimes I still sin. I can be selfish. I can be prideful. I can be a jerk. But the grace of God rescues me. And that same grace that shows me who I am and who I can be sometimes, that same grace shows me something else. Shows me that I'm a child of God. Yes, it shows me who I was, what I was saved from, but it shows me who I am and who I can be. That's what the grace of God does. It doesn't just remind us of, oh, I was such a loser. I was such a sinner. I was buried in addictions. Oh, my goodness. No, the grace of God says, yes, Donald, that was who you were, but I've rescued you from that. You're my child. You're my son. I'm making you more like me, and I'm going to use you for my glory. And you can be a good dad, and you can be a good husband, and you can be a good pastor. God shows us, and the grace of God shows us not just who I was, who I am, and who I can be. It's Jesus who changes lives. And this truth, this God, this loving God needs to be shared. And in the passage today, we see a man, Andrew, who met Jesus, stay with him for the day. And after he met Jesus, something so wonderful happened. He had to share it with someone else. He met Jesus. Something happened in the heart of Andrew after he spent that time with Jesus. And something in him welled up and he said, I've just got to share this with somebody else. So he finds his brother. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. His final words to his disciples before he went to be with his Father at the end of each gospel was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's the God who should be shared. Church, I'm so glad that someone felt the need in a little trailer park in Alabama years ago, decades ago. I'm so glad that God impressed in the hearts of someone in a little trailer park in Alabama to talk to their neighbors about Jesus. This older couple sitting around a picnic table with a young couple and their little baby having dinner, sharing the gospel. Their names were Bruce and Dottie. This older couple living in a trailer park in Alabama witnessed to their neighbors, sharing the gospel over 30 years ago with John and Jane Savini, my parents. I'm grateful for that. I wasn't even born yet. I think I was in the belly. I did grow up in Alabama a little bit, just not out of the womb. But this old couple decided, hey, you know what? Jesus has done something in my life. And let's share it with those neighbors across the yard there. Trailer. He's a military guy. He's not going to be here much longer. He's moving again. He's just in Fort Benning. You know, he was in Fort Benning. And they're going to be gone. Let's just invest in this young couple with this little bit, my older brother, this little baby. And they shared the gospel with them. And my parents got saved. Thank God that somebody felt the need. I wasn't even born yet and my life was already changed. And now here on Cape, our mission at Coastline is to share what Jesus has done with us to those in our lives. That's our church motto, is to know Jesus deeply and to show daily. That's our church motto. That's our heart. That's our mission. It all goes back to that. Knowing Jesus deeply, yes, and then showing Jesus daily. So who is your person? Who is your John and Jane Savini at the trailer park? Who is that person in your life that you know needs Jesus in their life? Who needs change in their life? Who needs grace in their life? Who needs some hope in their life? See, Andrew didn't think twice about running to tell his brother, we found him, the Messiah's here, you've got to come and see him. Can I ask a tough question to us today, myself included? Do you care enough to do something about that person who needs grace, who needs hope, who needs Jesus? Do you care enough to do something about it? Because you know, church, every single week at this church, in this service, this Sunday morning service that we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. The word of God is preached. Jesus is preached. The hope of Jesus will be shared. So I want to challenge you this morning to think of someone, to tell someone that Jesus has changed your life. David said in the book of Psalm 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe some of us need to get to that prayer. We're saved, we're Christians, we're children of God, but we've gotten so used to this Christian life that it's not as excitable to us anymore. It's not as something that we rejoice about anymore. Growing up or moving in next to a beautiful rose garden, and that first day that you walk by, you say, wow, what a beautiful rose garden. Look at all the beautiful flowers. Look at the beautiful growth. And by the third month of walking by that rose garden, you don't even notice it anymore because you just got used to it. And have you just got used to being saved from hell? Have you just gotten used to being a child of the living God? Have you just gotten used to having a church where you can come and freely worship God and serve the Lord? Have you gotten used to having the Word of God at your fingertips where other people in the world have to hide it or don't even have their own copy? Have you gotten used to it? Do we need God to restore unto us the joy of His salvation? To remember what it's like to be rescued from hell. To remember what it's like to be set free from ourselves. To remember what it's like to be released from the bondage of sin. Do we need that reminder, church? I'm telling you, you have a God that loves you, that has saved you, that has redeemed you, that has rescued you. That's something to be excited about. So excited about that I have to tell somebody else about it. He's the God that should be shared. This week, church. This week, think of that someone. I hope God's already put someone on your heart that needs grace, that needs Jesus. And this week, it's time to tell that someone, hey, I know we haven't talked about this much, but Jesus has changed my life. Hey, why don't you come to church with me next week? Why don't you come to church with me next week? I think you'll enjoy it. It's a pretty short service. The pastor doesn't preach that long. Why don't you come with me? That person that you're thinking of this morning needs to be rescued. Be a person that reaches people. Be a child of God that invites others into the family. He's the God that should be shared. Hey, someone reached out to you. Somebody felt the need to tell you about Jesus. Jesus has changed your life. Will you be a part of Him changing someone else's? That's the question. He's changed your life. So will you be part of Him changing someone else's? Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.